Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This mic's on the other side of the table, but I'm talking into it. I hope that.
I am talking on mic one.
We had to, because this mic one wasn't working, so I took mic two and put it over here, and that's what I've been using all week. This is mic two. No, we just took the whole thing up and moved it over.
That's why everything got buggered up.
What?
That's why everything got buggered up.
Well, it got buggered up because that thing sounded like
it
was in.
What? It ripped all the cables out.
So I'm using mic two for you right now, but I'd like to get back that one back again. Okay. Dan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, if you're out across America, you'd like to call us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from the East Coast, Mr. John Vinson, who's with the Immigration Control, Americans for Immigration Control, and we're talking about, well, we're talking about immigration. We're going to be talking today about the massive riots or demonstrations that were held all across America, where you saw not immigrants, but illegal immigrants demonstrating for their rights. Now, of course, if they were to do that in Mexico, why, they'd be in real trouble, but they are, of course, being encouraged to do it here in the United States. These are carefully organized and orchestrated demonstrations organized by many left-wing groups, including the Communist Party, funded in large part by our great tax-exempt foundations, specifically the Ford Foundations, funded by our own government. Why? Because, in my estimation, we'll get Mr. Vinson's view on this, but there is a move to really do away with our national sovereignty, and you have to have a grassroots movement demanding this, and then, of course, the government will go right along with that. What they really want to do is merge America with Mexico and with Canada, and we could have a North American sphere of influence where there'd be no control over our borders, and people could move back and forth, and sovereignty, as we know it, will simply become a remembrance of things past. But you have to have a demand, and so they're creating the demand. They've done everything they could to prevent enforcing our laws rather than enforcing them. And we elect people, and they are sworn to uphold our Constitution, defend it against enemies, both foreign and domestic, and the domestic enemies are here. Mr. John Vinson, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Good evening.
Well, what do you think of the demonstrations today? Were there big demonstrations back in Washington, D.C.?
I don't know about Washington. I read that they had 100,000 in Chicago, and there were smaller ones in cities around the country. It's interesting to see this continue. They seem to think that they can come here to America illegally and demand that we pass certain laws to their liking. I've never seen such a thing in our country, and it portends many, many very, very bad things.
But, of course, the thing is that the Senate wants this, the President wants this. He wants to solve the problem by making everybody who's here illegally legal. They keep saying there's only 11 or 12 million, the figures I have, I know, and that you have alluded to, 20 million illegals, and if we make them all legal, why America, as we know it, will cease to exist.
Right. What they're doing is, in effect, saying that citizenship is meaningless, that people who are here illegally have the same rights as citizens. One of their propaganda lines is to say that they are just like the civil rights movement. Well, the civil rights movement involves citizens seeking constitutional rights. These people have no constitutional rights because they're not citizens. What they're doing is totally debasing the whole concept of citizenship. It's a completely dishonest ploy, but, I mean, these people are dishonest.
But, of course, it's not the average immigrant who's... I mean, he's simply a pawn in this whole game. He's being used by the leaders, just as we're being used to try to get us to hate the immigrants, and that's the last thing you want to do. I should say the illegal aliens, they're here. You know, they think they're going to get a better life by changing America, and we're going to end up just like Mexico.
You're right. I'm basically talking about the leadership and the ones who are articulating the position.
And, of course, my deep concern is that this is being certainly supported by so many people within the media who refer to them not as illegal aliens or lawbreakers, or they are simply immigrants. And how often I hear this repeated over and over and over again by the mass media, never referring to them as illegal immigrants or illegal aliens. It's always, this is an immigrants' rights issue.
Another example of dishonesty, I mean, you spoke earlier about illusion. Well, this is the illusion they're trying to create. I mean, these are people just like our grandparents or whatever. They are people who have come here to make a better life for themselves, and they have just as much right to be here as your grandfather or my grandfather. Again, it's an illusion they're creating. It's not true.
And, of course, the thing is that my understanding is there are many of the Mexicans who came here legally, you know, and they are now American citizens, or they're here, you know, with a green card. A lot of these are really furious that this is coming in because, of course, this is going to lower their living standards and debase what they have worked so hard to become an American citizen. You can become American citizen just because you asked to become American citizen. It's not a privilege. It's your right, and you don't even have to learn the language to do it.
That's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that it's the right of any human being to come to the United States and have full rights as an American. If you grant that, then if everybody's an American, then the whole concept of American is meaningless.
Well, I think that really is what there are certain people within our country who would like to accomplish, because I think they want to do away with our national sovereignty. Have you run into that concept?
Oh, absolutely. If you read the writings of our elites, as you might call them, they really don't seem to have any great attachment to the United States as we have traditionally understood the United States. They seem to think of us as just some kind of a region on the globe, which eventually will be merged more or less with other regions.
And I think this is one of the big things, problems we have, is that many of our leaders are globalists. They have no loyalty to America. They really believe in this idea of a world government, and they want to do away with our sovereignty, and I think this is a very clever way to do it. I don't think the average American has any idea what's really going on. They're debating all the wrong issues.
And I think one of the leading globalists is George Bush. So many people think that he is a conservative. I don't understand why they do. I don't see what it is that he's conserving. He's a radical in every sense of the word.
But everything is illusion. Everything is delusion. And that becomes our reality. We will be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Mr. John Vinson, and he comes from Americans for Immigration Control. And would you like to tell us, you know, certainly what's going on back in Washington, D.C.? My understanding is that the Senate is going to be back here in session before long. And, of course, they did not pass an immigration law before they went on vacation. But it would appear that they wanted to give everybody, certainly everybody who was here illegally, all 20 million of them, to make them perfectly legal by one means or another. Or, you know, if they'd been here, they say they'd been here for more than 2 years, why, they should automatically become legal. What's going to happen?
Well, what I'm hearing now from Washington is that the Bush administration is putting on a major push to grant a large-scale amnesty. For a long time, Bush said he did not believe in giving them a path to citizenship, but stories have come out recently saying that he has changed his mind on this and that he does want to grant them a path to citizenship. There have been negotiations going on between key senators in the Bush administration, and one report out the other day said that both Senator Kyle and Senator Cornyn have been excluded from these negotiations. Both of them are opposed to amnesty. So I think that sends a real signal as to what the powers that be intend.
In other words, George Bush has no loyalty to America at all. It's sort of he's a globalist, and they want to, anybody who's come here illegally will get to be a citizen. And of course, if we let all 20 million of them, then they can bring in their friends and relatives. And what will that do to our population?
Well, it will just balloon the population. Senator Sessions of Alabama made this point. He said that if we grant this amnesty, within 10 years we'll have 30 million more people in the United States.
I think, though, he's figuring we probably have 11 or 12 million rather than the very realistic 20 million that I know even very quietly certain government agencies will acknowledge.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I think he's basing that on the 12 million figure.
And so he's figuring 12 million, 30 million. He's thinking it'll triple, so it'll go. More and more of our jobs leave this country, and since the illegals will work for less, what will that do to the opportunities for our blacks in America who usually have the more menial jobs? Are they going to lose their jobs to the people who came here illegally, who have no loyalty to America, many who don't even want to learn our language or adopt our culture?
And not just poor black Americans, poor white Americans, poor Hispanic Americans. In allowing this wave of immigration, we're destroying upward mobility. We're creating a huge underclass, and it's going to be an underclass that won't be assimilated. It will be one that can be used and exploited by radical groups for their own nefarious purposes.
We'll end up just like they are in Mexico, where you have they have more billionaires in Mexico than any other place in South America, maybe all of South America combined. So Mexico is a fabulously wealthy country with lots of silver and oil and all sorts of things, but you have a ruling class there, and then the majority of people are, of course, impoverished, and that it would appear to be the way America is going to be moving right here. A lot of the people are going to be losing their pensions. A lot of people are going to be, as the currency, if it gets into real tailspin, they could lose their life savings and would be living in really almost a third world nation. People really don't believe that could happen, but Mr. Vincent, could that happen?
I think it certainly could happen. Americans tend to be arrogant in some ways. We tend to believe that nothing truly bad will ever happen to our country. Everything will always work out well. We're just as human as anyone else, and we can go down just as other countries have gone down. Unless we exercise foresight, intelligence, and responsibility, that will be our fate.
I'm often reminded of what this Cicero said, and this was he died at 26 B.C. But he said that the budget should be balanced. The budget should be balanced. Public spending should be reduced. The arrogance of officials should be tempered, and assistance to foreign land should be curtailed, lest Rome become bankrupt. Now, doesn't that sound very much like what's going on today? Of course, they killed Cicero, and Rome went bankrupt, and that was the end of the Roman Empire. That was the end of the Roman Republic, and then they became the Roman Empire, with, of course, Caesars or dictators after that. But that was the end of freedom, because they're going exactly as we're going today. It's like deja vu all over again.
I imagine back then his critics called him the Latin equivalent of bigot and nativist and extremist and things like that. I don't think that has changed either.
Well, of course, what they do is they tend to demonize those of us who are concerned about what's going on, as if we're racist and we don't like Mexicans, and that's the reason we don't like what's happening. It has to do with the sovereignty of our nation and the future that we will bequeath to our grandchildren. Destroy America and, of course, you destroy their future. And it would appear that there are people who have a different world vision than you and I would. Well, now, do you think we're going to be able to, the Senate will be able to come up with something logical, or do you think that they will cave in to President Bush, who knows that so many people are concerned about what's going on in the Middle East, and that's a wonderful diversion, so we don't see that as our boys go overseas to fight for freedom in Iraq, that we're losing our freedom here at home.
That's a very good magician's trick. I mean, divert with one hand and do what you want to do with the other. I don't think all is lost in the Senate yet. Everyone thought before the Easter recess that it was a done deal. They were going to pass amnesty then. But one thing that threw their plans off was that there was just a massive outpouring of outrage from the public. And I think this caused the senators to slow down a little bit, and it caused confusion in their ranks, and it prevented them from putting the amnesty through. And that could happen again if the pressure continues, if people keep on calling the Senate and telling them that they don't want this thing to go through. We might be able to stop it there.
Well, now, you do have a website, don't you, people can go to and send emails or faxes to their senators. Would you like to get out information on that? Because I know that you're doing programs all across the country to try to point the people to what's going on, and hopefully that they care enough about their freedom that they will take a little time to call and email and fax their senators, because believe me, they may want to give amnesty, but if they know they're going to be in real trouble, like here in California, Dianne Feinstein's going to be up for re-election, and wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, she understood that she's not going to get re-elected because we are mad, and we're not going to have her destroy our country. Obviously, she, you know, is fully in favor of granting all these people amnesty. But maybe, just maybe, since she's going to be running for re-election, she might be looking over her shoulder and realizing that she doesn't want, you know, 20,000 angry Californians voting against her.
One thing to keep in mind is that the globalists have a lot of power, but there are a whole lot more of us than there are of them, at least for the time being. And part of the strategy is to dilute our strength by bringing in large numbers of people who have no understanding of the American system. But for the time being, there's still a lot more patriotic Americans than there are globalists. And so we should use this advantage to the fullest and make it known to people like Feinstein that we aren't going to put up with this.
Well, now, how can people get in touch with your organization? Don't you have something on your website that facilitates people contacting their elected representatives?
Yes, our website is www.immigrationcontrol.com. And once you get on the website, look over to the left. It says Legislative Center. Click on that, and you'll be able to send emails to your senators and also get their addresses and fax numbers and other contact information.
You have a telephone number there for people who know what the telephone number is in Washington, D.C.
Let's see.
Well, we can get that later on, perhaps, in the program.
Capitol Hill switchboard, but I don't have it handy right now.
All right, fine. Well, of course, anybody can call 411 and get that number. Maybe somebody out there in the listening audience could call in and get it to us. Because we want the people out listening to our program across America to start flooding Washington, D.C. America is being invaded today. America is under attack. And believe me, these demonstrations are very carefully planned, and they're very well financed. And the media is doing everything they can to actually promote this by referring to them as immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. I mean, after all, we all came here as immigrants. How can you be against immigration? What about the Statue of Liberty? And they play all these views, and then of course, they suggest that anybody who's against this, obviously, is a bigot. They hate Mexicans. They call them nasty names and all of this sort of thing to put you on the defensive. And I will tell you, there are a lot of Mexicans who are certainly totally against what's going on. There are people who have come to America because they wanted a better life, and they've had a better life, and they're appreciative of what they have here, as every one of you in this audience should be, because we live in the greatest country in the world, as imperfect as it is. Why, we live in a great and wonderful country, but we can lose it, and we can lose it over this issue. Believe me, you've seen the massive demonstrations all across America. Well-financed, well-coordinated, and of course, the senators, if they do not hear from you, are simply going to accede to President Bush, whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to a globalist dream and an ancient plan which is meant to be fulfilled. At least those were his words in his last speech. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. And if you'd like to read his latest speech, we'll be glad to send it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a copy of my March newsletter. That's 1-800-544-8927. My March newsletter. Read his last speech. And ask yourself, what is this ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled? Why, it's the new order of the ages. What is the new order of the ages? Google the term on your computer. It's Novus Ordoris Florum. You'll see it on the back of the dollar bill, beneath the pyramid, capped by an all-seeing eye. Well, Mr. Vincent, is there a lot of people back in Washington, D.C. working with you? Do you have a lot of allies and supporters in what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, working with us is the Immigration Reform Caucus in the House, led by Congressman Tom Tancredo. And he has made it known that they're going to fight to the last to stop amnesty. And I saw him month before last in Washington, and he expressed confidence that they could do this. It's going to be a hard fight, though. One thing, assuming that the Senate passes amnesty, it still has to be negotiated in Senate House Conference Committee, and it can be stopped there. So I would recommend to people, in addition to talking to, getting in contact with your senators, contact your House members as well and encourage them to hold fast and not yield.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, you know, the big thing is how the media presents this. And the media has such a control over the attitude of the American people. And the American people can see beyond the, the platitudes given by the media and about all the poor people and they're here and they just want a better life. And of course they want a better life. But they've been encouraged to come here by the administration, which refuses to enforce our laws. Is anybody back there in Washington, D.C. saying, why aren't you enforcing the laws on immigration? It is a federal crime to knowingly hire, people who are here in this country illegally. Why don't they do something about that?
Well, they don't want to. On one level, you have the globalists and their agenda, and beneath that level, you have political and financial concerns. Basically, it works like this. The Republicans want open borders for cheap labor, and the Democrats want it for cheap votes. The Republicans get contributions from business interests that depend on cheap labor, and the Democrats see them as a large, more or less alienated block of people of a lower economic status who would incline to become members of the Democrat Party. So that's basically the lay of the land there. The majority of Americans are on our side, but they're not knowledgeable and organized, and they need to expand their knowledge and expand their organization to stop this, to counter these interests.
Well, now, of course, the thing is we make a great deal about building a fence, and I'm all in favor of building a fence. We should have done it, you know, a long time ago. I mean, a lot of people say, well, if we just put troops on the border, but we've sent them all overseas fighting for freedom over there and stationed in Germany and stationed in Japan and stationed in South Korea and of course, fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, but our own borders are open and we are being invaded. It would almost appear that George Bush really isn't interested in trying to solve the problem, you know, with the legal means that he has, and that would be simply be, you know, actually enforcing the laws of our land. Because if there were not jobs here for people who are here illegally, they'd go home.
Exactly. I saw something reported by Eagle Forum the other day that was really astounding. It was a campaign ad that Bush did, I think in 2004, and it was in Spanish, and it had a picture of him holding a Mexican flag, and then the text, it said something to the effect that the Mexicans properly belong here in this state of Texas. I'm referring to Mexican nationals apparently.
Well, of course, I think that tells us a lot about where Mr. George Bush's loyalty really is. We're going to be back in just a moment, and we'll welcome your calls here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. John Vincent for Americans for Immigration Reform. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is something you can really do something about. If there is enough outcry from the American people, they will back down, and especially as people begin to see how this whole tragic situation fits together, and as our attention is focused on the Middle East, why we're losing our freedom here at home. And, of course, with the illegal immigration comes the progressive breakdown of our health care delivery system, and because, of course, any illegal alien can go to our hospitals, and by federal law, they have to be taken care of. You can't even report them to the immigration people, you know, because they're knowing they're here illegally. Even in many of our states, why the police are not allowed to, if they arrest an illegal alien, to contact INS, why would there be anything that stupid?
Why is this allowed?
Why is it allowed? I mean, I would think that if you were actually, or a police officer arrest somebody who's here in this country illegally, you could do something about it.
But once again, the powers that be don't want the laws enforced for their purposes. And that's not going to change until the people make them change.
Amen to that. All right, well, let's go to Mike, who's calling in from Idaho. And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the call. Hey, I heard that Jim Gilchrist, who was the founder of the Minutemen, who ran for Congress, is going to also be putting in a bid for president. Did you hear the same?
I've heard this. I've heard rumors of the same thing. I think Jim Gilchrist is a very nice man, but of course he doesn't want to discuss anything but immigration. And if you're going to run for the presidency, you have to, you know, go over all the various issues that affect people.
Sure,
where does he stand on the war? He's in favor of the war. Running against George Bush and being in favor of the war is certainly not, not the way, in my estimation, to go. So, I mean, I think Jim Gilchrist is a very nice person. What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Vincent?
Well, running for president might be a useful vehicle for him to get his views out. But on the other hand, I think it'd be better for him to concentrate on what he has been doing, that is, organizing the Minutemen.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that it's I think it would be an exercise in futility, Mike. I've talked to Jim Gilchrist, very nice fellow, but he has no grasp at all of the Constitution or much of anything else. He's running onto the one issue, though.
Oh, that's disheartening, since he'd be running onto the Constitution Party.
Right. Well, I hope maybe you can get him educated as far as the Constitution, but you know, I have talked to Jim, and, you know, I don't think he really understands the major issues at all. But he's a nice man. He's a very nice man. And maybe you could educate him.
I'd love to try.
All right, fine. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I I thought maybe that since he, you know, obviously there are laws in the land right now that make illegal immigration illegal, and that's why there's that the adjective before making it such. What about with the fact of illegal immigration, what about those who aid and abet illegal immigrants?
Most of them are in government, and of course they are immune. The government has the ability to stop it tomorrow by enforcing the law. They steadfastly refuse to. They're very selective. They go after Martha Stewart, but they won't go after the major corporations that are hiring tens of thousands of these illegal immigrants.
Well, thank you for taking the call, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for being with us. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you agree. If you disagree, we'd like to know how you feel about it. And that's really what talk radio is all about. And certainly, I understand Mr. Tancredo has thought of tossing his hat into the ring. Now, Tom Tancredo is a congressman. He knows how the government works. What are your thoughts on that?
It could be a useful thing. It could upset the plans of the powers that be to some extent. For people to at last have an alternative. But the thing is, you've got to be aware that running for president is a very, very costly thing. And
I'm sure he would not be getting money from the big corporations who support
right.
both the Republican and Democratic Party to make sure we really don't ever get a real choice. So
I'd like to see him continue what he's doing, but you know, given the dire circumstances that we face, maybe something like this might be justified just as a means to try to awaken.
Well, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment from Mr. John Vincent, and welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Mr. John Vincent from the Americans for Immigration Control. And they're back in Washington, D.C. They put out a lot of great information on the immigration issue. And they're really trying, of course, to get the information out that this is an attack on America. You see, the whole idea, we're being told, oh, you just got to learn to be tolerant of other people and other people's views. But this is an attack on American culture. People come to America because they want to be Americans. They want to learn our language. They want to be part of our country. The people who are coming in illegally, many of them don't want to be part of our country. They certainly want to have a dual loyalty to the United States. And, of course, they want to be here. They want the benefits. They want the welfare. They want all the other wonderful benefits, but they don't want to become part of our culture. And, of course, they want to change America from what it is to what they have in Mexico. Is that really what the average American wants? Well, I don't think so. I think the average American knows there's something seriously wrong, and yet he's almost afraid to speak out. He's cowed by a constant barrage of information coming in over the media, and if he speaks up, then he becomes controversial. And people either are going to have to stand up today and take a stand, or, well, once this illegal or this amnesty goes in for illegal aliens, I really think that America, as we've noted, will change forever. What are your thoughts, Mr. Vincent?
I think you're right. One thing we've got to realize now is that this is a real fire. It's not a fire drill. We are really facing a genuine problem, and we need to react to it in appropriate ways. We can't bury our heads watching television any longer. We've got to pull away from this set. We've got to pull away from our sporting events, and we've got to act as citizens to deal with the problem.
Amen to that. I certainly agree with you totally. And certainly, again, that's www.immigrationcontrol.com. That's www.immigrationcontrol.com. And they have places there where you can go to their website. You can send an email to your congressman. You can send an email to your senator. You know, it's not even going to cost you any money to put in the message this way. Of course, you can always call them on your own. You can send faxes on your own, but this is a convenient way. And the more messages they get from concerned people, the more they're going to listen. Now, remember, the other side is very well organized. I mean, they have fabulous amounts of money available through the Ford Foundation and the other subversive organizations in America, intent upon destroying America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. John Vinson. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we would, if you have a question, a comment, if you feel, you know, that this is an important issue, we'd like to know what you think about it. The whole thing is that it's almost like organized madness. People say, well, we're going to build 700 miles of fence. Well, we got a 2,000-mile border. And so why are we going to build 7 miles of fence? We want to do something. Let's build a fence for the whole border. Oh, we just don't have the money. Oh, we can give, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars for the war in Iraq, which certainly we'd been far better off not to have gotten into. Or once we did win the war, if we had not disbanded the Iraqi army and disbanded the Iraqi police force and disbanded the Iraqi civil service and created chaos over there, which somehow now is being used to justify our staying on indefinitely at a fee of $100 billion a year, but we can't do anything to protect our own voters. Well, we've got Barbara calling in. Let's see where Barbara's calling from. Oh, Barbara from Santa Cruz. So, Barbara from Santa Cruz, do you have a question at all?
Yes, I do. I was just listening on the news tonight, and they're talking about many of the European countries who are very dissatisfied with what's happening in their countries and are becoming more restrictive in the people that they will allow in. I'm just wondering if we fail to do something with the problem that we have here now, is this going to open America up for more illegal immigrants from other countries?
Well, after all, why should we want to discriminate against anybody? If the Mexicans can come, why not the people from Syria who are being that don't like the Syrians, and why not more immigrants from China and Vietnam and all over the world? I mean, where does this end, Mr. Vinson? If we don't take a stand here and we draw a line in the sand, where does it all end?
Well, if you reward behavior, certain behavior, you just get more of it. And if you grant amnesty, you will simply attract more people who hope that they too can get amnesty, that they too can hit the amnesty jackpot.
And, of course, the thing is that this is exactly what happened in ancient Rome. And, of course, as people flooded in who had no loyalty to Rome at all, they just came there for the goodies, and eventually, of course, Rome collapsed under fiscal responsibility, providing goodies for everybody, the bread and the circuses.
Countries change, but human nature doesn't change. And
right.
We've learned from the past.
And those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, that's for certain. Anything else, Barbara?
Well, I was just wondering, like playing the devil's advocate, do the people that, you know, in Washington now know what they're doing, and do they realize what they are opening themselves up for, or is this something that, you know, possibly is planned?
What are your thoughts? Do you think that the senators and the congressmen who are supporting amnesty and the president, do you think that they really understand that giving all these people amnesty is going to destroy America as we know it?
There may be some very sinister globalists among them who understand what the plan is, but I think most of them are very, very egotistical and selfish people who really don't care about the future. They think, we have ours and we don't care about future generations. I think that's the mentality.
All right, anything else you'd like to ask, Barbara?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, let's go to Eric, who's calling us from Arkansas. Hi, Eric, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was just thinking, I've heard it kicked around about having a, you know, since they had this day without, whatever they called it, day without illegal immigrants, that we should have a day without the founders of the country, but I think a better idea would be to boycott like Tyson's and the other big corporations that have supported this day.
All right, I think that's a good idea, and I think that if we know what the companies are, Mr. Vincent, what are the companies that are really, hiring so many of these illegal aliens? Is it, Tyson's? Is it Walmart? Who's really funding them, hiring them? Because an awful lot of people have to be hiring them to give 20 million of them jobs here.
Tyson's, Walmart, so those are culprits. Wells Fargo, it's involved in the sending of money back to Mexico. They're big in promoting the illegal alien cause.
Wells Fargo Bank, maybe we ought to just target a few of them might have an impact.
I think we're going to have to think in terms of doing things like that. I think money is about the only thing these people really care about or understand, so you have to influence them where they can be influenced.
All right. All right, fine. Well, let's go to Bill, then, who's calling from Florida. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Fair tonight, Dr. Stan.
That's good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a few weeks.
Yeah, I've been listening. I tuned in a little bit late tonight. I had a question for your guest. What does he think about building a wall or a fence along that 2,000-mile border?
I think it's a good idea, but a wall in and of itself is not going to do the job. You have to have personnel on the ground patrolling it. Otherwise, they can just dig under it. You need sophisticated sensory equipment to detect movement. And aside from the border, you need effective interior enforcement so that if they get through the border, they can still be apprehended and sent back. One very key thing is that enlisting state and local law enforcement to help federal law enforcement do this.
And that's the big thing, Bill. What we really need, I'm all in favor of everything that Mr. Vincent is saying, but if they would simply enforce the federal laws, which the president refuses to do, if he would simply enforce the federal laws, there wouldn't be a problem. But he has a different loyalty. That's the problem.
We've got local officials and border states like Southern California where they tell their police agencies not to arrest them if they're illegal.
Right, that's right. And then the federal government insists that every hospital give free medical care to every illegal alien who comes there, and then we have to foot the bill for it.
If we could get Senator Mel Martinez from Florida to quit trying to come up with compromises, that would help a whole lot.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Bill.
Thank you.
God bless. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, we've got Laverne calling from Spokane. How you doing tonight, Laverne?
Just fine, and I'm glad I tuned in. I have a comment and then a question. My comment is the news media is making the illegals look so good.
Right. Well, what would you expect from the controlled media? The media is the enemy of freedom here. They're basically 90% of our media is controlled by five mega corporations that are simply a part of this whole globalist agenda. And if you doubt that, we have a wonderful book called The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bekdakian, who's been following this since 1983 when there were 50 corporations. Today there are five.
Well, they're not showing what's really going on.
Of course not.
The men in prison, the 12-a-day killings by Mexicans.
You know, Elizabeth, 90% of the homicide warrants in Los Angeles County are for illegal aliens. 90% of war. I mean, the crime that exists in Mexico is getting just, pardon me, in Los Angeles is getting to be like the crime situation in Mexico. And it brings, it, of course, breeds corruption within government at every level. And the entire administration down there is becoming increasingly corrupt. 90% of the children born in Los Angeles County Hospital are born to women who are here illegally, part of this whole the illegal immigrant thing. And this is basically shutting down hospitals all along the border states because they simply cannot finance themselves, having to take care of for nothing illegal immigrants. So we got a real problem.
You know, we do. Vincent, is this our last chance for freedom, fight for freedom? They've okayed, Cincinnati Fox has okayed the use of drugs in Mexico.
That's to make it easier to bring them into this country.
It's disgusting what's happening along the border. The people who own property are really suffering.
Well, Mr. Vincent Laverne wants to know, is this our last chance to maintain our freedom?
I don't know about the last chance, but we're getting close to what may be our last chance, and so we need to get determined as we can. And
Well, Laverne, you've got to help us get the information out there.
I'd like to see Ron Paul, Sensenbrenner, Congressman King, Tom...
Tancredo?
Yes. But we need to get rid of these professional politicians and take back our government.
You're absolutely right. But
Democrats are in the same boat.
Right. But what we need to do is, of course, to understand our Constitution. What we need to understand is what the agenda is of these people on the other side. What is the president's real agenda? He's a globalist. He wants to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. When you understand that, then everything begins to make sense. And then you have to get about where did he come from? And how did he get to be the nominee of the Republican Party? And why doesn't anybody ever talk about what this is really all about and the spiritual forces that are energizing this globalist movement?
I think people will back whoever steps forward and is a strong presidential candidate. They'll get him into office. The thing of it is, things are so bad now that people don't know the truth. I listen to you. I don't miss your soul unless I absolutely can't listen.
Well, at least we've reached one person up in the Spokane area, and I hope you understand.
Talk to your friends. Talk to your family members. Tell them. Tune them in to good internet sites, and don't worry about what the mass media say. A friend of mine wrote a poem recently. It was, "Dogs bark, birds fly, fish swim, and mass media lie."
How true it is. Oh, thank you for being on radio tonight. I listen to this. This is the only way I find out the truth.
Thank you so much, Laverne. And your job is to get all the other people up there in Spokane listening.
I'm doing my best. I've got a family I'm concerned about, too. They're so busy. People don't know the truth.
Well,
they don't realize.
All we need to do is, if we can once convince them that the media is lying to them, that we are not a democracy, a republic, that the wars are all contrived, but this immigration movement is a war. It's a war in America.
It is. And Sensei Fox is coming to the state of Washington.
Vincent, will you give him my
meet
best?
Meet with our governor, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Thanks so very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Let's see. Somebody had called, wants the listeners to read the May issue of The New American. It talks about immigration, and certainly that's very good. In fact, we had an interview, I guess, about 2 weeks ago with Bill Jasper, who's the senior editor of the New American, and actually that'll be one of our tapes of the month. I think it'll be a featured tape this month, talking about the immigration problem and the need, of course, to begin to address it for what it really is. So I certainly concur. The latest issue, or I guess it was the May issue of the New American, is excellent, and we commend it to you. Well, our telephone again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Mr. John Vincent, and their website is www.immigrationcontrol.com. That's www.immigrationcontrol.com. And your assignment, Laverne and Bill and everybody else who's called in, Eric, you go there and you start sending faxes and emails to your elected representatives and your congressmen and your senators, and let them know how important this issue is. Because believe me, most of our elected representatives aren't dedicated to the right or to the left. They're dedicated to staying in Washington, D.C. And they're going to go along with President Bush, who wants, of course, to make all of the people who are here illegally legal. That's how he's going to solve the problem. His loyalty is not to the United States. It's to this globalist agenda, which his father was dedicated to and his grandfather. Okay, they all came from exactly the same secret organization that had its foundation in Bavaria back in the early 1800s, 1832. That's when Skull and Bones was formed. Well, anyway, we do hope that many of you out there will begin trying to understand, put it all together, understand America's under attack today. And, of course, we're just not hearing about it through the regular medium, which calls the people immigrants, not illegal immigrants, immigrants who are just here for a better way of life, putting you into a defensive position. Well, Mr. Vincent, certainly I agree with you. We've got to have people telling people, is there a fairly active campaign? In other words, are the senators and the congressmen getting a lot of emails and faxes and calls on this subject, you know?
That's what I've heard. Before the Easter break, one of our lobbyists told me that some of the offices were getting hundreds of calls per hour. That shows the intensity of public outrage. But this has to continue if we're going to keep them from doing their dirty deed.
All right.
So I urge people, I mean, contact them.
Don't be bashful. Believe me, the other side is calling and emailing and faxing. And we've got to do the same thing. Tom Tancredo, Congressman Tancredo, and Ron Paul and the handful of other patriots we have back in Washington, D.C., cannot do it without our help. And if the American people don't care about maintaining their freedom, how can you possibly hope to maintain it?
And freedom is what it is all about. When you have masses of foreigners on our soil demanding rights and telling us what laws we can pass and what laws we can't pass, that means that we are losing our freedom. It's just that simple. I mean, freedom means self-determination of a nation, and they are serving notice to us that they're going to prevent us from doing that. It's interesting how they play this sleight of hand thing. Just as you were saying, how they use diversion and falsehood. They try to paint these people as being just like the civil rights demonstrators or something like that. No, they are people here who are trying to take our freedom away from us when they are out marching in the streets and participating in these boycotts. This is a threat to us.
And, of course, they are actually talking about taking back the country that they lost, during one of the previous wars. And they want to take California and Arizona and New Mexico and Texas and one other state. They really are deadly serious about this. And, of course, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But I think that they will resort to violence. And believe me, something came out recently. They were a directive went out to all the American soldiers of Mexican descent in Iraq. Come home, prepare to defend the people here, our people here, because of course they're going to begin taking violent acts against us. You've got to come home. And so what they're doing is trying to suggest that the white Caucasians are going to start taking a legal action, not legal action, but a violent action against the Mexicos. They've got to begin to arm to defend themselves for their rights here in America. And believe me, the professional revolutionists who are in directing this whole thing know exactly what they're doing, but question is, who's financing them? Well, we've got Mike calling again from Idaho. I'll be back in just a moment. Our guest has been Mr. John Vincent. I hope you feel convicted. I hope you're going to get involved. Well, Mike, did you have another question, or is this the same Mike?
Yes, this is the same Mike.
Okay, Mike.
And the question is, as you were speaking about the illegal immigration, is it illegal immigration, or is this invasion?
Yeah, well, it's both. How would you respond to that, Mr. Vincent?
Well, it's both, but more and more it's becoming an outright invasion, colonization, takeover. Again, when you have foreigners on our soil telling us what we can do and what we can't do, that is a takeover. At least one that's beginning.
I think that's a very, very good point. And Mike, I think that we have to get people to understand that America is being invaded today. And the president has sent our troops overseas so that they will not be here to defend America. And you have to ask what his loyalty really is.
Well, that's right. And the question is then, if this is acts of invasion, then why would we stoop to use the terminology of illegal immigration, which softens it and markets it to a more palatable, if there is such a thing, of intrusion, instead of just saying, we are being invaded. you know, it's not a, this is not just semantics. This is intent. It's,
and you're absolutely right. It is intent. And this is being coordinated by Vicente Fox and by President Bush. Do you have a comment on that, Mr. Vincent?
Well, you're right. The Mexican government wants to exercise power in our country. Juan Hernandez, a high-ranking official in the Mexican government a few years back, actually admitted this to Congressman Tom Ten Credo, and he said that we are doing this on purpose. He wasn't coy about it at all.
Mike, I think your point is well taken. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, sir. Thank you again.
God bless. But, Mike, you've got to get up right up there in Idaho up out to speed on this. Will you? Well, work at it as much as you can. Try to get people to understand. We are being invaded today, and the president has sent our troops overseas so there'd be nobody here to defend America.
Well, the question is, one question I do have, what about National Guard? Why not bring them back?
Well, so much of our National Guard is over there, over in the Middle East. That's up to the president. He has the right to send them over, because Congress gave him that right, which they never should have. We never should have gone into Iraq. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. The president was not forthright for the American people. The decision had been made long before. They were just looking for an excuse. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. And John Vincent, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you here. And if anything comes up and you want to come on again, just let me know.
Thank you.
Good night and God bless.
Good night.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day by a radio someplace and 4 hours a day on shortwave and 9 hours a day on satellite by Telstar 5, and you can get us that way if you're interested. But the important thing is we do hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We have a great four-tape set on illegal immigration. We have a great book called Importing Revolution. It's written by a gentleman who's worked in Washington, D.C. for a long time, going into the fact that the Ford Foundation is financing so much of the illegal immigration movement. We have a book that's 50 years old now, but it was the only congressional investigation ever allowed to point out that the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation of that era were financing communism here in the United States. Why? Because you want a controlled opposition. And, of course, if you finance it, you control it. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we tell the story about Abel Haddad, who was a high official in the Communist Party, until just as we were going into World War II, and she asked one of the high officials in the Communist Party from Russia what they would do if they lost contact with them, how they would know how to manipulate the American people during the war. And he gave her the names of three people who lived at the Waldorf Astoria. All three of them were major capitalists, and she was told, well, just go over and talk to these men. They will tell you the official Communist Party line. And at that time, she realized it was all a lie. She'd given her whole life to a lie, and that was that communism had always been financed by people of great wealth, the very people that the average communist really thinks they're opposing. And just as with the immigration movement, people do not understand how this is all being manipulated, and of course the people who are out there marching in the streets don't understand they're being manipulated by the very people in many respects they oppose, who are actually responsible for their oppression in Mexico. We have a wonderful book called No God Next Door. It goes into the Mexican Revolution back in the 30s and how it was really all coordinated from right here in the United States. There's so much you need to know. And we make so much information available through Radio Liberty. If you haven't been to our website and looked at the books that are available there, go to www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And there you can listen to our programs on the Internet. You can get the MP3 of the archive programs. You can certainly access the other networks we're on. You can get our shortwave frequencies and learn about Telstar 5. And then, of course, we remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual forces behind this effort to destroy America, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the DVD, the video, to understand where this all began. Why the book, pardon me, the DVD, it's entitled Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Beautifully done, 3 hours of very, very good drama. Actually, I am in that as I try to explain this whole world revolutionary movement and the secret societies behind it. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Ray Young, and he's written a fascinating book, which we will be carrying. It's called A Time of Departing, and it's how the ancient mystical practices are uniting Christians with the world of religions. Let me repeat that. How the ancient mystical practices are uniting Christians with the world religions. Now, what ancient mystical practices are we talking about? Well, I think it's going to be fascinating, because what Ray is pointing out is these ideas that come from the mysticism are infiltrating the churches and are being adopted in so many of our churches, and it is a means of reaching God. These are means by which, through meditation and Christian meditation and Christian yoga, we can reach God, and that's not how we're supposed to reach God. And what we are really doing is opening ourselves up to, I believe, demonic possession. And this is being practiced in many of our churches to the songs where we repeat the same word or phrase over and over and over and over again. And it's the technique that's used in hypnosis to open people's minds so that they can lose control of their will. Ray, thank you so very much for being with us. Ray, are you there? Ray Youngin?
There you go. Now you're much better. Yeah, you sounded kind of far away.
All right, fine. Well, how did you ever get started in this?
Well, I've been researching what's called the New Age movement since 1984. I was raised, in a fundamentalist church group, and I'd been aware that there were various spiritualities out there that conflicted with conservative Christian views. And then in 1984, I began to see that there was a very significant movement that was starting to burgeon called the New Age movement. And I saw that this was something that could present a real challenge to Christianity.
That was about the time when Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, came out.
That was the catalyst for me, was that book, Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow.
In fact, we still carry the book. We think it's that helped to change my whole outlook on everything that was going on. But you pick up the story. This book obviously had an impact on you as well.
Well, yeah. See, before that book, Christian books on this subject usually dealt with cults, specific cults like, the Hare Krishnas or the Moonies or Transcendental Meditation. And Cumby's book was the first book that really kind of broadened the scope and said that there was a mass movement, something that wasn't just involving cults, but something that, could have an impact on virtually every person or family in America.
I think that book changed many people's attitudes. At one time, people were very aware of the New Age, but it's suddenly become old hat. I think most people have sort of forgotten Constance's
precisely
warning.
Precisely.
All right, and so as you've been researching, and of course, it really hasn't gone away. It's really more of a problem now than it was, isn't it?
Oh, it's, that term has more or less been abandoned. It's been jettisoned, and this was something that was bannered about more or less in the 80s.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Ray Youngin, and then a time at the party. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ray Youngin. Ray picked the story up, and Ray is simply saying that after reading Constance Cumby's book, he began to research this whole New Age or movement, but it's much more than simply the New Age movement. It's a whole transformation of our relationship with our Lord. So pick up the story, Ray.
Right. Well, anyhow, you hit on an important point there that most Christians, when they hear that term, they think of astrology, reincarnation, crystals, that type of thing. But that's part of it, but that's just a relatively, small segment. What New Age spirituality really is about is, as you said earlier, meditation, altering one's consciousness. That is really the vehicle that drives this movement. And that can be injected into any situation imaginable, whether it's the corporate world, how to make better decisions, regarding business, or into the health field, to relieve stress, and or into the world of psychology, and counseling, or into the world of sports. You can be a better athlete if you meditate. I mean, it's unlimited, but what I started to see is this also had a significant, impact on the religious world. And right about just a year or so after I started to research this, I was in Spokane, Washington, about 1985, and I saw a catalog for a cassette company. And this had to do with audio cassettes on prayer and spiritual themes, and it was supposed to be Christian, Christendom, and I noticed that there was kind of like a correlation between many of the authors and also Eastern spirituality. Like you would have references to Eastern concepts. He would have like one individual. He talked about how Eastern spirituality was bringing the church to a new vitality. And even though the catalog and the people in it were, you know, proclaimed themselves to be Christians, they had an affinity or a resonance with Eastern religion, especially Eastern mysticism. And I thought, this is quite interesting. You know, in other words, they didn't leave Christianity and become Hindus or Buddhists. They stayed in Christianity, but they engaged in practices which made them co-mystics with the mystics in Buddhism and Hinduism. I started to see terms like centering prayer, and one in particular that really put me off for quite a few years.
Hold that thought right there for Ray. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ray Young, and we're talking about this influence in the church. And Ray was simply saying that, you know, we began to see these books that about almost like Christian mysticism, and of course all these ideas of centering prayer, these new techniques by which we could experience God. And of course, basically, this is exactly what the Hindu, what the mystic does. He wants to experience this relationship with the inner God. So pick up the story there.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I started to look into this, and a term that, like I said, a term that kind of misled me for a number of years was the term contemplative prayer. Now, that word contemplative, you know, I thought meant to contemplate. Now, everybody does that when they pray, for the most part, especially when they're alone. You know, when people have challenges or problems, you know, and they're a devout Christian, they'll go off somewhere, you know, someplace generally alone, you know, and then they'll kind of talk to the Lord, and they'll think a little bit, you know, and then they'll talk to the Lord, and they'll kind of ponder. And yeah, that's what I thought contemplative prayer was, which is perfectly within the parameters of traditional Christian thought, right? But what I found out they meant by contemplative was just the opposite, that it meant switching off the mind and the soul contemplates God, you know, in kind of a mystical altered state of consciousness. You know, it had nothing to do with the mind contemplating God. It was something kind of untraditional. And this goes back to a group of people called the Desert Fathers. Now, if anybody cares to research this, and many of the authors that I write about in my book will openly say that, you know, this goes back to the Desert Fathers. And the Desert Fathers were these monks who lived in the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa in the early Middle Ages. And they, my findings, I found out that they experimented with different ways of knowing God. And one of those ways was what in the East is called the mantra. In other words, taking a sacred word or sacred phrase and repeating it over and over and over again. And, these desert monks, you know, these desert fathers thought that if he used a Christian mantra, he would get Jesus. He would get the God of the Bible. And so they passed this on to various individuals who took it back to Europe, and then in the 1400s, a treatise came out called The Cloud of Unknowing. And The Cloud of Unknowing is basically a manual on mantra meditation. It says you take a little word and you use that little word to strike down all other words or thoughts. You use that word to strike down all your thoughts, and you go into the cloud of unknowing, and that's where you meet God, is in the cloud of unknowing. And then various other mystics, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, Meister Eckhart, and others carried this through. And then in the 1960s, it kind of exploded. It just kind of came out of the monastic setting and kind of spread throughout quite a number of different, originally mainly Roman Catholicism and the mainline denominations. And this was the work of one man in particular named Thomas Merton. Now, Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk, and he wrote quite a few books, and these books became widely read. and he became a major proponent of contemplative prayer. And what makes him bad from our standpoint is he's also a major interspiritualist. Now, interspirituality is, like I said earlier, that all religions are the same at the mystical level. The mystics of Islam are called Sufis, and he had a very deep affinity for the Sufis, and he would write letters to the Sufi sheikh or Sufi master, and he asked the Sufi master, well, you know, what do you think what's your view on salvation? And the Sufi master said, well, we don't believe in any kind of atonement or redemption. In other words, the idea that Jesus died on the cross and we're forgiven our sins through his blood, we don't accept that. We reject that. And so Thomas Merton writes back and says, yeah, I see your point that, you know, when you get into doctrines, there's no way to really resolve any of this. And it kind of, you know, doctrines take us away from the way things really are, and they kind of, put us in this other reality. But in the area of divine light, you know, Muslims and Christians can share, you know, in divine light, and that's where we can meet. You know, forget about doctrine, forget about redemption and atonement, and you know that doesn't really matter. When we go into these mystical states, we do this mystical prayer. That's where we can really become one. And he said later that he was deeply. Thomas Merton said that he was deeply impregnated with Sufism.
Well, now, were they the whirling dervishes?
Yes, they're the whirling dervishes.
And, of course, all of this is to put your mind into a receptive phase where you can actually be contacted by the other dimension. And I think people have to understand there really is another dimension. There are demonic spirits, and they're just waiting for an opportunity to seize control of your subconscious.
See, that's one of my major problems, Dr. Stan, is that many, many people, including many, many, perhaps most Christians, don't really believe in mysticism. I mean, not believe in it in the sense of accepting it, but believe in it in the sense that it actually exists. I mean, believing that it's actually real. You know, I get the impression that they think it's silly. You know, it's so far-fetched and it's so far out that it's like believing in Bigfoot or like believing in UFOs or something like that. They just can't really take it seriously because they don't believe that it's actually real.
And yet, of course, they'll watch the medium on NBC on Monday night, and they'll actually identify with this woman, a very nice woman, Alison Dubois, who actually can contact the other dimension, and then she can help the DA catch the bad guys. They can accept that, but they can't accept this sort of thing happens in real life.
Make-believe.
Right.
And see, that's the big problem I have, is trying to convince Christians that mysticism actually exists and people actually do get in touch with the spirit guides. They actually do get in touch with other dimension or supernatural realm.
Well, Alison Dubois was a real woman who worked for a district attorney who did exactly what you're seeing on television. Admittedly, I'm sure they make a lot of good stories, but it was all based upon her own story. And there are people who can contact this other dimension, but you do that at the risk of your eternal soul.
Well, see, that's what the New Age movement is all about. Like I said earlier, they don't use that term anymore. Now it's just called spirituality or intuition or something, higher consciousness or...
How about Christian yoga or contemplation?
Even, they present it as Christian yoga, you know, that this is something that will lead you into a deeper relationship with God. But the thing is that it actually does exist. It's actually real. If you do this, you will, you know, experience supernatural realms. And see, that's why I wrote my book, is that I want people to know that they have to test the spirits, you know, that just because something sounds good, you know, just because something looks good, doesn't mean that it actually is from the kingdom of God.
I thought one of the points you make was so well that, you know, that certainly there is a mystical, but, you know, this is not something that we can produce. In other words, if God wants to reach us by a supernatural event, it's going to be that something he does, not something we do.
Right.
And I thought that was really such an important differentiation. This whole idea is that we are going to reach God through meditation. No, if God wants to reach us, he's going to reach us if there's going to be a supernatural event. But ordinarily, of course, the important thing is his word, which guides us to an understanding of his plan for our lives.
Right. See, Christianity isn't just a philosophy. You know, it's not like being like a Republican or a Democrat or, you know, or an Epicurean or whatever. It's being born again is a supernatural event. I believe that a Christian is somebody who's indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
But of course, that sounds almost like what they're saying. They're saying God is in everyone.
Yes.
And so God is indwelling everyone. And so how do you, and God is in everything. So how do you counter that, the Christian belief that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the mystics' belief that God is in each one of us?
Well, there's a big difference. There's a major difference, okay? You're familiar with John 5:24?
Go ahead. What is
it? He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me shall not perish, but is passed from death unto life. You know.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God.
Yes, that people are in Adam, and separated from God by their sinful natures, and they hear the word, they hear the gospel, and they believe it. You know, and once they believe it, they're passed from death unto life, and they're translated into the kingdom of God. You know, it's by faith. You know, Ephesians 2:8. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. See, in the type of spirituality that we're talking about here, it's not through faith. You're born connected to God. You know, God is in everything. God is in all that exists. So there's no need for faith.
And so what you really have to do is look into yourself and find God.
Yes, and I think is that the music I hear coming?
Oh, yeah, it's coming in just a moment. Go ahead.
I should wait till after the music is over, and then I have a story to tell.
All right, fine. Well, then our guest this evening is Ray Youngen. His book is A Time of Departing. We're going to carry the book because we think it has a very important message for everyone in the listening audience. The enemy is within the walls. The enemy is within the church today. And it is so easy with these ideas, these new techniques of reaching God. All we have to do is turn off our mind and, of course, then contact the supreme ruler of the universe. But unfortunately, sometimes we're laying ourselves open, not for an experience with the supreme ruler of the universe, but with the demonic beings who are out there. Who are, of course, prowling the world and looking, searching for the souls of men. All right, Ray, go right ahead with the story now.
Okay. Yeah, this is from my book, and I got it from a book entitled Silence on Fire. And there was this advocate, he was a clergyman, and he was an advocate and a practitioner of contemplative prayer. And he was marrying this couple. And the woman, you know, the bride believed in God, but the groom was an atheist. And, the groom said, well, I don't believe, you know, you can't prove there's a God, and, you know, I don't believe God exists. And what this clergyman told him kind of illustrates the point I'm trying to get across concerning this type of so-called prayer. He told him that, well, if he would just look in the right way, you know, and in the right place, if he would just look within, he would find God already within him. If he would just, you know, do this mystical prayer, he would find God is in the depths of his soul. And, it had nothing to do with faith in Jesus Christ, had nothing to do with believing the gospel. In other words, God was already within this atheist groom. And, that was the answer he gave. Now that's something any guru or Eastern proponent would tell somebody. You know, they said, well, I don't believe in God. They say, well, look within, you'll find God within, you know, through this type of meditation, or in this case, you know, so-called prayer. And, this is what is being injected now, or is coming into the evangelical church. You know, it's been in other denominations for quite some time, but now it's being promoted as being the way to know God. And in mainline or mainstream Christian magazines, like Today's Christian Woman, there's an article on how to know God deeper, walking more deeply with God, and this is generally the type of thing you'll hear, that God really wants to get through to you, but he can't because you're too busy. You know, you're too busy, you know, with your family, you're too busy at work, you know, you're too busy, you know, with recreation, and he's just waiting to get through to you, but he can't because you're too active. So you have to take time and just be still with God. You have to get away from it all and seek the silence. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Excuse me. I'm not against that per se, but it's how they do it. You know, it's the connotation they give.
And we could talk in your book about this idea of silence. And what you're really talking about is not silence with no sound. You're talking about turning your mind off and putting it almost into a neutral, where it thinks of absolutely nothing. And, of course, it'd be open for any sort of invasion from the other world.
Yeah, this is exactly my point, that, you know, if they meant just going off into a quiet meadow or a quiet room and just thinking, then, you know, I'd have no problem with that. I mean, that's just normal. That's just part of the normal Christian life, right? But what they're talking about is using sacred words, you know, and sacred phrases, like, you know, going off somewhere. And one of the common ones is, I am here. You know, just saying, I am here, or here I am, you know, over and over again. You go into a room and you sit quietly, you close your eyes, you go, I am here, I am here.
And, of course, we do this sometimes in our prayers, in our songs, in our praise song, singing the same phrase over and over and over again, laying ourselves open for, well, we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Ray Youngen. His book is A Time of Departing. And we're talking about how Christians are being misled. That, you know, of course, it's one thing, of course, to go to church and to learn Scripture and to read God's Word, but there's something more. What you want is an experience, a supernatural experience. And through the supernatural experience, you can come to experience God, not to know God, not to know God's Word, not to know the plan of salvation, but to experience God. And so you picked up the story there, Ray.
Yes, what you're talking about is many of the people that describe this kind of prayer talk about ecstasy. You know, it's not something that's real scary and creepy. They talk about this, you know, this energy surging through them, and that it's Thomas Merton said that this is a good example of what I mean. Back in the 60s, Thomas Merton died in 1968, but right before that, he was talking about all these hippies that were taking LSD, and he said that, well, they could get the same thing from doing mystical prayer. It had the same effect. You know, they didn't need to go out and buy drugs. They could do this just by, you know, doing the same kind of thing he did. And see, that's what I've found, that people that do this kind of prayer talk about, you know, it's very, very powerful. It's very sensual. And they actually do go into other realms and other worlds. And they believe that this is God. There's a presence in the silence. One of the guys I quote said that, you know, there's a, in the silence there's a sacred presence, and we become attuned to that. And they believe that's God. But, you know, I'm saying, you know, that isn't God. You know, it's a deception. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. I mean, that word seducing there means an imposter, you know, a deception. You know, you think you're getting God, but in reality you're not. So it's not just giving heed to spirits, it's giving heed to seducing spirits.
And, of course, we're told in the latter days, before the man of sin appears, there'll be a great falling away from the faith.
Yes.
And of course, we have certain doctrines of the church, once saved, always saved. Once, of course, you've given yourself to the Lord, you don't have anything to worry about. You could never, of course, fall away from the faith. You could never lose your salvation. And yet we see all the people leaving the traditional Christian teachings and looking for something more. something that will give them an experience. And this is, of course, the real problem. And these prayers where you put your mind in a neutral, and then, of course, it's just open and just waiting for something to come in. And something really does seem to come in. You describe it almost as if a click, somebody had described a click happening. What's that all about?
Yes, that was from a book by a woman named Shakti Gawain. She says that, you know, you're meditating, all of a sudden there's a click in your consciousness, and you start to channel this energy in you. And see, this is what I'm trying to get across to your listeners, is that we're not talking about just an intellectual belief system. We're talking about people being taken over by something, you know, people being possessed by something. It's really, it's quite bizarre, and in fact, it's so bizarre that, like I said earlier, a lot of people won't believe it. You know, they say, oh, you got to be kidding. You're serious, you know. You really believe that people are taken over, you know, and I am serious. You know, but that's what the Bible says. If you believe the Bible is true, if you believe the Apostle Paul was really writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, not just making things up, then when he says that people will give heed to seducing spirits, that's what will happen. And you said earlier, I really appreciate that, you talked about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, Paul talks about the great falling away. He talks about not a falling away, but the falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, you know, during the day of the Lord. So the, you know, the means something very profound and particular and specific, not just one of many. You know, there has been departures from the faith throughout the centuries, you know, the rise of liberal theology in the late 1800s and what have you, but you know, various cults have sprung up, but what Paul is talking about in 2 Thessalonians says that day shall not come except there come the falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I believe what my book is about is that this is what he's talking about. You know, not the falling away, but the falling away.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's a great book, Ray. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Ray. And incidentally, you can get the book by calling 1-888-544-8927. We think it's a great book. But anyway, give us a call, or if you'd like to talk to Ray, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ray Young, and we're talking, well, we're really talking about this whole idea that there's a new movement within the church looking for an experience rather than a relationship based upon our, you know, obedience to the Lord and the Word of God and studying the Word of God. But no, we're looking for something more than that. And the problem is that, you know, if God wants to bring about a mystical experience, he's going to do it. But certainly, and Ray makes the point that this has happened down through the years, but this is something that God initiates, not something that we initiate. What about the labyrinth? Because this is simply another technique. It really goes back to the Middle Ages, but it's sort of a means of putting your mind into a neutral position so you'll be open to the spiritual experience. You want to develop that idea?
Yeah, the term labyrinth, it's kind of like a maze. They have it on the ground or the floor, and you kind of walk this maze, and you kind of stare down at it, and you kind of say mantras as you go, or you can just concentrate, you know, just focus on the maze itself. The labyrinth becomes an actual visual mantra. Like in Buddhism, they have something called mandalas, and they're like intricate patterns that you hang up on the wall, and you just kind of stare at them, and if you stare at them long enough, you'll actually go into a trance, you know, just by looking at them, and they're designed to do that, and labyrinths are that way too. Labyrinths are very much promoting what's called the emerging church. Now, the emerging, to get more specific here, the emerging church is movement that believes that you know, people between the ages of like 16 and 35 don't even like the seeker-friendly model for Christianity. You know, that's even old-fashioned for them. So they need something, you know, much more intense and much more dynamic. So the emerging church uses labyrinth to supposedly propel people into the presence of God. And the thing is, if you go to the metaphysical or cult section of, you know, some major bookstore chains and go to the section on Wicca, you'll find there's one book on Wicca that goes into great detail and devotes quite a number of pages to labyrinth. You know, so you'll find labyrinths in books on Wicca or witchcraft also.
And of course, they understand that the purpose of Wicca is to try to contact the beings from the other dimension. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Ray Youngin. His book is A Time of Departing, and it's a fascinating insight into a movement which is sweeping through the Christian church, everybody looking for a different means of reaching God, rather than the old idea of, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We want to get beyond simply the old idea of preaching. We want to experience God. Well, that's exactly what the Hindu does and what the Buddhist does and what the advocates of the New Age are doing today. They want to experience God. But of course, what God are they trying to experience? So how do you counsel people on this, Ray?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, I believe that the Christian experiences God. You know, that I believe that the people I've talked to that have been Christians for you know, a number of years, even those that are relatively new Christians, you know, they can all recount that they have experienced God. They felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They felt that Jesus is with them, you know, in their hour of travail. They've had guidance. They've had direction. You know, they've had, quite a number of experiences that indicate that God is active in their lives. But people that tend to go for the type of prayer I've written about or against, they always say that they were dry. You know, their Christian lives were really unfruitful and uneventful and, you know, just lacking something. Well, not uneventful, but, you know, just, in fact, one woman, Sue Monk Kidd, she was quite active in church, and she was a Southern Baptist. We're talking about Southern Baptists here in South Carolina. You know, we're not talking about some liberal church. We're talking about Southern Baptists. And she was a housewife, mother, you know, and, active in a local Southern Baptist church, and, you know, she describes that, you know, God seemed far off and distant, and she was unfulfilled, and she wasn't really happy in her Christian life. And then, in all places, Sunday school, in Sunday school, a man hands her this book by Thomas Merton, and she starts reading it, and she starts finding out there's this mystical tradition in Christianity, and it's been around for centuries, and she hadn't even heard of it, she didn't even know about it, she starts, you know, buying books on it, starts reading, and starts doing, you know, this kind of meditation and saying sacred words and emptying her mind. And then she started to write books on the subject. She wrote a book called, her first book was called God's Joyful Surprise, and it was endorsed by Moody Monthly. Moody Monthly, you know, and Today's Christian Woman and Virtue Magazine, and they were saying how great this book was. And, you know, they actually felt it was Christian. This is a Christian book. And then her second book was called When the Heart Waits. And again, you know, it was endorsed by Christians, and it was in Christian bookstores and Christian sections. And again, it was on, you know, mystical prayer. Then her third book comes out, you know, about, I think, 4 years later, or maybe 2 years later, some, you know, just a few years later. And now she is abandoned Christianity, and now she worships the goddess Sophia, you know, and she says that, you know, she no longer accepts the Bible as being authoritative. Now she only accepts her inner voice, you know, the voice of her divine soul, period.
And, of course, what the divine soul is doing is leading her away from the truth. into these false beliefs. This is a great problem with any of this, because you're really opening yourself up, just as the Wicca and the witch does, to contact from the other dimension. Until we recognize it really is there, there is a supernatural, there is a mystical. But you tap into that, of course, the risk of eternal damnation.
Yeah, well, anyhow, Sue Monk Kidd has went on to, like I said, she was a Southern Baptist, you know, the same denomination as Charles Stanley.
Right.
And she went on to write a couple of, she wrote two novels after that. One became a really huge bestseller. It's called The Secret Life of Bees. Kind of an odd title, but it sold millions of copies and millions of women read it, and she incorporated her spirituality into that. And now she has a book, I think it's, at one time here recently, it was the most popular paperback book in America, called The Mermaid Chair. And maybe some of your listeners have heard about it, but it was very popular, and again, it incorporates her spiritual views into it. So, huge numbers, mainly women read these books, they're kind of geared toward women. Millions of women out there are reading her books and are being exposed to her spiritual views. Mm-hmm. And gradually there's kind of like a influence, or there's kind of like a shift going on, where this idea of mystical prayer is going from being seen as bizarre and unusual to something that the average person would want or need.
Sort of a major paradigm shift.
Yeah, paradigm shift.
We've got Liz calling from Sacramento, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Liz. How are you doing up there?
Hi. I'm doing real good. Listen, what I'm reading is, I'm reading from the book, A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And on page 424, and it says, one of John Paul's second most amazing feats was a gathering at Assisi, Italy in 1986 of 130 leaders of the world's 12 major religions to pray for peace. Listen to this. Praying together were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, animists, North American witch doctors, Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus, as well as Christians and Catholics.
And I think we're moving towards a new world order, Liz. I think that you're exactly right. There is an effort to unite all the religions into this one religion.
Right, and it says that they were all praying to the same God.
Right.
Isn't that disgusting?
Well, how would you respond to that, Ray?
Well, see, that's what I wrote about. That's what I mentioned earlier, that at the center of this mystical prayer movement is what's called interspirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And interspirituality, I write extensively on it. I mean extensively, that when you chuck doctrine, when you get rid of doctrine and just go into the silence, you know, mental silence, everybody is connected, that there's only one God, and it's the God of the New Age. And everybody's tied into it, and everybody's connected to it, and all is one, you know, all brothers are one.
Right, but I don't know. Well, I guess it's just time to pray, because we've got to get on our knees and pray. That's it.
I believe so.
Amen to that. If we don't have a revival in America, if the Christians of this country are not called to worship and to turn from the wicked ways, then America as we know it will cease to exist.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the worst part is when you listen to these pastors, and instead of hearing the Word of God, you're supposed to go home and check it out yourself. Do like the Bereans do. Sit down and check out that Bible.
Well, there's nothing wrong with checking out the Bible yourself, but you go to church, you should not be entertained. You should be convicted.
Exactly. Right. I know, because I've been going up to a church up here at Bayside, up in Granite Bay, and it's just like a rock concert, and I said, forget this, you know?
Okay.
No way.
All right. Well, Liz, you may have to, if you can't, hope you can find a good church up there.
I hope so.
But if you can't, why, then you're going to have to form your own church. And I think we're going to have to start going to home churches.
I think it's going to go into home churches. I really believe it.
Well, I fear this. It is the fastest growing movement in America. And the fact you never hear of it simply shows you how the ecclesiastic establishment doesn't want people to know about it. That isn't, there aren't a lot of good ministers out there. There's just not enough of them.
Exactly. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much.
God bless you. And thank you so much for calling, Liz.
Okay, bye-bye.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think Liz's point is very well taken, that there is this move, and it's not simply in the Protestant church, it's in the Catholic church. It is an effort to destroy traditional religious belief, and let's all get along together. Let's be tolerant of everybody else. You know, we certainly all worship the same God, and the truth of the matter is we don't worship the same God. We do not worship the same God that the Muslim worships, despite the fact that George Bush seems to think so. We do not worship the same God that the Hindu or the Buddhist or the Shinto or the snake charmer worships. They all believe, I believe, that they worship the same God, but it is not the God of the Bible.
Let me make a point here, Dr. Stan. I want to make two points before we take the next caller. One, this kind of ties in with what you just said. Do we all worship the same God? Well, you've heard of Krishna, haven't you? You've heard the term Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna is one of the gods of Hinduism, and he's got blue skin, and I don't know, there's a lot of pictures of him, and Hindus put pictures of Krishna in their house, you know, or home. And well, anyhow, I happened to be reading something on Krishna, and he's very sexually promiscuous. He has orgies with milkmaids, you know, and this is one of the deities of Hinduism, and I thought, wow, you know. Talk about a radical difference.
One of the things you wrote about in your book was this man who was really sort of a guru of this alternate Christianity, and yet, of course, he was spending all of his time seducing little girls to come to bed with him.
Yes, yes, and see, you know, there is a difference. You know, Krishna has no, I mean, the moral atmosphere that surrounds Krishna is radically opposed to the moral atmosphere that surrounds Jesus Christ. See, Krishna, it hit me, I thought, wow, this Krishna has the moral life of a rock star. You know, somebody like Mick Jagger or somebody, you know.
Well, there's a great deal of similarity, I believe, because I believe that many of the people who are into the music industry have actually given themselves over actively to the dark side. We have a wonderful video series, 3, 4, or 10-hour series called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And after you've watched that, there is no question in your mind that many of these people actually knowingly and intentionally have given themselves over to the dark side. But when you do, there are tremendous advantages. You get a lot of money. You get a lot of sex. You get a lot of wealth, and certainly you get prestige.
You sold your souls for
all these pleasures here on earth, and people really can't believe anybody would sell their soul to the devil, but some people really do. Well, let's go to Roger.
Before we take the next caller, I want to make another point that, if I can, there's two phenomena that are currently going on that I think are very important, and I want to reach your audience with this. One, the Harry Potter phenomenon. Now, in the Harry Potter phenomenon, being a wizard, you know, going to a school for witchcraft, being a wizard is presented as being the ultimate in being cool. You know, it's presented as being very desirable. And have you heard that term muggle? Muggle?
Right, right. That's us. We're muggles.
Yeah, see, it's millions and millions of younger people have read the Harry Potter books. I mean millions, you know, big chunk of the population. And in it, they've been kind of inculcated that muggles are inferior. To be a muggle is to be kind of backward or stupid. And to be a wizard, excuse me, to be a wizard is cool and advantageous. And see, that's how I see the Harry Potter series, is kind of a paradigm shift in the thinking of, thinking of young people.
Well, because I think the thing is that they are tapping into exactly the same other dimension. Only, of course, this is really a much more dramatic way of doing it. We've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, just a comment to reinforce and then a question if I have the presence of mind. You open with a comment about a Christian prayer being contemplative, that is, thoughtful or thought-filled, often agonized, unless one is sinless, perhaps. They don't have any reason for agony. And so this is the exact opposite of the thought driving out of the Eastern religious forms. and it's only almost follows as a logical consequence that one would come to regard oneself as God.
Do you have a question at all for our guest?
Yeah, and with that in mind, you mentioned about the repetitiousness of the mantra and any parallels you would care to draw to Roman Catholic religious practices, including the rosary rubbing and other things that I should think would have the same effect.
Let's get our guest's thought on that. What do you think about, say, the rosary, where you repeat over and over and over again the same same phrase?
Yes, I've thought about that, and the only thing about the rosary that, I haven't come to any firm conclusions, but the rosary, there's so many words. You know, there's a lot of words involved in the rosary, and mantras usually tend to be like one word or just like a few words, like a phrase, like, maybe four or five words at the most, you know, and with the rosary, I'm not saying it certainly won't put you into a trance. If you learn it well enough and do it long enough, but what I've seen is the type of prayer I've been researching, it's usually very short phrases or one word.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, Roger. And let's go to John. Are you calling from Baldwin Park?
Yes, California, just outside of Los Angeles.
All right, fine. Good to have you with us.
Great. My comment was that the chief doctrinal book in the New Testament, the book of Romans, by the time it gets to the mystical stuff in chapter 8, it's already gone through 5 chapters of how to go to heaven and 2 chapters of how to deal with sin.
Right.
So if we would just, I know you say that we don't just get people saved, we got to get them involved in stuff, but if we don't get out the gospel itself enough to get people saved and on the way to heaven, there's no way they can stand up against these people.
You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
How would you respond to what John is saying?
Well, exactly, that But what I've been trying to get across is that a lot of people who turn to this type of prayer are in churches where the gospel is being preached. And for some reason, it never sunk in. You know, like, you know how Jesus talks about the wheat and the tares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing? Well, it seems like the tares are the ones that are going for mystical prayer. And there are people that have come out of it. There are people that have done it and then been convicted and... In fact, one youth pastor that I know was starting to do it, and he started to go into these mystical states, and there was, you know, the Lord intervened and said, you know, this is not for me, and he was actually saved from entering these realms.
Great, but when I read R.C. Sproul's book, Faith Alone, it convicted me that most churches are not preaching the gospel.
No,
and that's true. That's true, but I mean, sooner or later you're going to hear some level of it in, you know, conservative evangelical churches. I don't know. I don't really know what a lot of churches are preaching nowadays. You know, a lot of them have went for the seeker-friendly mode, and they're kind of vague, and like, you know, we heard earlier, they're entertainment-oriented. But one would think that sooner or later they're going to get some, people are going to get some kind of a semblance of the gospel, at least in churches that are supposed to be conservative.
Well, when I heard of the Calvinist tradition and how strong they were for the gospel, it's like the other churches are just saying the sinner's prayer or this Mickey Mouse stuff that doesn't really get them to believe anything.
Well, that's the one reason why we do what we do today. John is trying to point people back. The gospel, the word of God, has to be our guide. And, I mean, we certainly can't look to mystical experiences to tell us, because then, of course, we're beginning looking within ourselves for an answer, and we're always going to give the wrong answers. The word is in the answers are in the Word of God. That's where we've got to go. Hey, thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good night. And you hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here. Our fascinating evening with Ray Youngen. Well, this is Dr. Stan Ray. Do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out?
Yeah, Lighthouse Trails. Anybody can find it on the internet. And then there's a number to call if they want to order a book directly.
We're going to be actually carrying the book ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's an important book. And so if you're interested in getting Ray's book, A Time of Departing, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And it really is an amazing book. My wife read it, and she really enjoys it, and I'm enjoying it as well. And we're going to have Ray back on all of our programs because Christianity is under attack today. Not from without, but from within. And of course, I think one of the points that Ray makes that you can go to even to Christian bookstores and you'll find all sorts of books going into this new spirituality, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of the books I've got on this type of prayer I got at, conservative evangelical bookstores. You know, it's becoming the wave of the future. You know, it's popping up. There's a book, you know, called Sacred Pathways, you know, that about how to reach God, you know, and it talks about using sacred words, repeating them for 20 minutes, you know, repeating a mantra-type word for 20 minutes. You know, and then it says that the word will just start repeating itself. You don't even have to repeat it anymore. It'll just start repeating itself. You know, and it's, the name of the book is called Sacred Pathways. And see, my work is telling people, well, you know, this isn't true. You know, this isn't a pathway to the God of the Old and New Testament. This is a pathway into the other side. And I think I can document that.
Until people understand that there really is another side, there really are forces out there that are searching for your soul. And if you're not careful, you're going to, of course, get into it. I think this is the big problem, that most people are so naive and they're not being constantly warned of the danger that's out there. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah, it's not, you know, I'm not being sensationalistic or paranoid. You know, when one looks at the major figures of the contemplative prayer movement, and there's many, I devote it. My whole third chapter is just on, you know, the major figures of this movement. I think you've read that already, right?
Right.
Third chapter?
Right.
And every one of them is tied into interspirituality, that, you know, all religions are connected to God, and that, Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam are just as much, are just as legitimate, expressions of the divine as Christianity.
Well, Ray, we're out of time, but I really want to tell you how much I've enjoyed being with you, and I hope that we can get you onto all of our other programs to speak to our other, certainly our other audiences.
Sure, yeah, this is a compelling topic.
Well, we're going to have to let you go. Bye-bye, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was certainly Ray Young, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. I think this is an important subject, his book, A Time of Departing. If you'd like to know more about it, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Christianity is under attack today. We have a number of books on this subject. We have a wonderful book. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. We have a four-tape set with two interviews with Johanna. Called the supernatural. There really is a supernatural realm. Of course, we have our four tape sets on Satanism and deliverance, our four tape set on Aleister Crowley. We have an excellent book on Aleister Crowley, who is a Satanist. It's called Blood on the Altar. We actually have a disclaimer in there and a few of the things that they say. If you think it's an excellent book on that, there are just a few things that we disagree with, and you'll understand if you go through the book. But overall, of course, it's the best book we have on a man who is known as the other Loch Ness monster, because he actually had a home on Loch Ness. And of course, we have so much other material going into this whole realm. We carry a four-tape set, certainly going into what's happening to our music, but even more than that, we have the DVD and or video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. We'll actually see people like Marilyn Manson and Ozzy Osbourne singing about Mr. Crowley. Who was Mr. Crowley? He was a Satanist. He was with British intelligence. Mr. Crowley was, as I said, known as the other Loch Ness Monster. He was totally evil and corrupt. He organized the OTO. He was a 33rd degree Mason who was inducted into the satanic realms of Masonry, which most Masons don't even know exist. So if you ask about them, they'll say they don't exist. Or if they do know they exist, they're certainly not going to tell you about it. But most Masons don't. They're good people who have simply been misled, as have so many people today. Because there is an organized effort to do one thing, and that is to draw people away from Christianity. Well, please go to our website, radioliberty.com. If you'd like to go get the material we've talked about, the books, the videos, the DVDs. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Again, the book we've been talking about this evening, A Time of Departing. The videos, of course, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Aleister Crowley and his friends, the supernatural, Satanism and deliverance, and so much more. Our website again, RadioLiberty.com. That's www.RadioLiberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you one. And, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell others about our programs. And the fact we're really involved in a spiritual battle behind everything political and everything financial and everything cultural and ideological are powerful spiritual forces, many of them from the other dimension, in search of the souls of men. So then, of course, this is Dr. Stan asking you to pray for America and pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.